Shalom Aleichem. Yesterday in Mishneh Yomi Land, we finished up chapter 8 and started chapter 9 of Sanhedrin. We're picking up on the second Mishnah there. Nitkovin l'harog et behema. Somebody intended to kill an animal. V'harog et adam. And they ended up killing a person instead. Maybe they were hunting and there was a person, you know, in the bush, in the blind, and they didn't see them and they tried to shoot the animal and Nebuch. The Mishnah adds a similar case, Le'ovid Kochavim. He's trying to kill an idolater, Harget Israel, but he accidentally got a Jew standing nearby. Le'nefolim, he was trying to kill a Nephil. Now, Nephil is a premature infant who is born in a way where they're not going to survive. The Harug ben Kayama, and by accident, they ended up killing an infant that would have lived, that was a full-term normal infant instead of the Nephil. Potter. In these cases, the quote-unquote murderer, he's definitely done something wrong, but he can't be executed by the court. In all of these cases, he didn't have the kavana, the intention, to kill someone in a case that would make him liable for murder. But what if the aggressor actually was trying to hit him? Nitkovin lahakotol motnov. Reuven was trying to hit Shimon on his hip. And the punch he was throwing, or the hit that he's hitting, it wouldn't have been strong enough to kill somebody if it hit him on the hip, on the leg. But accidentally, this blow ended up striking him on the chest. And this blow was lamaisa strong enough to kill a person if it lands on their chest, opposite their heart, and the victim died. Potter. Here too, the aggressor can't be executed by the court. He was not trying to cause death. He was trying to cause injury. Now the Mishnah brings this opposite case. He wanted to hit him on the chest. It would have been strong enough to kill the victim if it actually hit him square in the chest. And he was maybe running away, turning around. So the blow actually hit him on the leg. And this blow would not have been strong enough to normally kill someone if it landed on their leg, v'mate. But the victim ended up dying from this injury anyway. Potter, the murderer, is actually not liable to death. Now, he intended to kill the victim, but the actual injury in which he struck the victim was not a deadly blow. The Mishnah adds a similar situation. Itkavan hakoto et a godel. He wants to hit an adult. And, you know, the slap or the punch that he's throwing, it's not enough to kill an adult. But Nebuch, maybe the adult ducked out of the way or someone ran in there, and the actual blow hit a child. And this blow was enough to mortally wound and kill a child, v'met, and the child ended up dying, God forbid. Potter, the murderer, cannot be executed by the court. He didn't intend to kill anybody. He intended to injure an adult. God forbid it killed a child. He did not have intention to kill. Also, nitkavin l'akot et hakatan. He's trying to hit a child. Hayabak hadei l'hamit et hakatan. And this, the power behind his punch would have been enough to kill a child. Halchala ala gadol. The kid ducked out of the way and it hit an adult. V'lo hayabak hadei l'hamit et hakatan. And this blow wouldn't be powerful enough to normally kill an adult who's stronger, healthier, v'met, but they died of this injury anyway. Potter, the murderer, is not liable, because again, even though he's intending to kill somebody, the injury that he actually inflicted was not normally a mortal blow. Aval, but now the Mishnah brings cases where we're going to execute him. Nitkavan l'hakot ol motnov. The aggressor is trying to hit him on the hip, on the leg, and it's powerful enough, maybe he's using a weapon, where it's going to kill the victim even if it hits him on the leg, and it accidentally lands the blow on his chest, and he dies, then the murderer can be executed by the court. He was trying to kill, and the lamaisa, the injury he inflicted, was a mortal blow. Also, nitkavin lakot et hagadol, he's trying to hit an adult, and his power behind his punch is enough to kill an adult. It accidentally hit a child of a met, and the child died of the same injury. Chayev, again, he's liable. He's for being executed. He intended to kill, and he struck a mortal blow. Rabbi Shimon disagrees in the last case. He says, "Afilu nitkavan l'harogat zeh v'harogat zeh." He says, even if he's trying to kill Reuven and he ends up murdering Shimon, potter. He's actually exempt. Now, of course, he's in big trouble. Minas Shemayim, he's in tremendous trouble, but the court cannot technically execute him because he did not have kavanah, intention, to kill the victim of the actual blow. That's only according to Rabbi Shimon. The other sages say we would, if he intends to kill A and kills B, he would be found guilty and executed, something in modern law called transferred intent. On to Mishnah Gimel, where we bring up some logistical concerns with murderers and prisoners. Rotzeach shenit arav be'acherim. A convicted murderer got mixed up with other prisoners. Or it's a case where there were two people standing next to each other, and the witnesses could see there's two people there. They saw one of them, but they don't know which, throw a rock, which then killed someone else. Then, you know, they can't convict this person. One of these two is a rotzeach, is a murderer. And even if the other one is a great tzaddik, we know he'd never hurt anyone, kulan patorin. All of these people, including the murderer, are putter. They cannot be executed because lamaisa, we don't know exactly who the murderer is. He might have been mixed up with other people, or they might simply be unable to identify them, even if we know for sure that one of these people is wicked and aggressive and the other one is a great tzaddik. Rabbi Yehuda omer konzin oton lekipa. Rabbi Yehuda says, we lock them up in a kippah, usually means a dome, it means a cell. Basically, it means life imprisonment without the chance of parole. Now, some of Farshim explain that Rabbi Yehuda's statement is talking about animals, that the first statement is by people. A murderer mixed up by people, you can't convict him and execute him. But by animals, we don't really have this concern. So if an animal was convicted of killing a person, you know, shor aniskol, but it got mixed up with other shor, and we don't know which animal is actually the murderer, we'd put all the lock up all of the animals, so they're all usher behana, no one can use them, we'd lock them up until they die. However, there are opinions that this statement, kotzinot on the kippah, is in cases where the murderer, we really know who the murderer is, but he got mixed up with other prisoners, and now it's not so clear exactly what happened, but the court can figure out what happened, so that even if technically they can't give him an execution, like he would deserve if they could identify him positively, you know, even though he's mixed with others, they could lock him, just the murderer who's known, but technically they can't be executed, they could lock him up for life without parole. And it's interesting, there are no crimes or sins in the Torah for which prison is the sentence. That's not a biblical concept to lock people up. It just does not work to cause tshuva, to get people to repent and change their ways. In this case, this is a rabbinical model where we're locking someone up who we know is a menace to society and a danger and a threat, but we can't actually execute him for technical reasons, but we should keep him away for the safety of society. Now, the Mishnah brings a case where there were more than one person convicted of a capital offense, but they got mixed up. Kol chayvei mita shen aru zeh bezeh. Anyone who's liable for death, but they got mixed up with other people who were convicted and sentenced to death. Nidonin bekola. We give them the less severe method of execution. For example, haniskolin benisrafin. Someone sentenced to skila was mixed up with someone sentenced to sreifa, and we can't identify who's who. Rabbi Shimon Omer nidonin beskila. Rabbi Shimon says, give both of them a skila, shas sreifa chamora, because sreifa is more severe, more extreme. The Chachamim, I mean, the other sages disagree with Rabbi Shimon. They say, Nidonim v'sreifa, give them both sreifa, sheskila chamora, because skila is actually the more severe punishment. Amarlein, Rabbi Shimon argues with this. Eilu, ilu, lo haita sreifa chamora. If sreifa wasn't more severe, lo nidna labat kohen shezinta. It wouldn't be the punishment for the daughter of a kohen who did adultery. As we mentioned yesterday, Yehuda and Tamar. Amrulo, the sages replied, Elu lo haita skila chamora, if it were not that skila is actually more severe than sreifa, lo nidda lemigodef, it wouldn't be given as punishment to a blasphemer la over the vodazora and an idolater. Now, how about a case the Mishnah brings, had neherogin benehanochin, those who should get a herig, a sword, were mixed with someone who should get a chenek, a strangulation. Rabbi Shimon Omer besaif. Rabbi Shimon says, give both of them the sword. He says that's less severe than chenek. Chachamim amrim bechenek. These other sages agree, they said they should strangle both of them, as they hold that's less severe a punishment than herig, than the sword. Yashar koach, zay gezunt.